So welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming out for The Fine Line of Inking. My name is Andrew Braga. I'm the curator of the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco. And it's a real pleasure to be doing this panel. Inking is obviously a very wonderful part of what makes a comic a comic. And we're joined by some very talented guests here today. So I'll start by just having you introduce yourselves. And we'll just start with Mark and go down the line.
Well, hi, I'm Mark Schultz. And I primarily am known, I guess, for doing a comic called Xenozoic Tales. I primarily ink with a brush.
Rudy, you're up.
I'm Rudy Neves. I work a lot for Marvel, DC, and Warren Publications during those times, 70s and 80s, in the 80s.
Yes. I'm Gary Gianni, and I ink with a pen. And I think that's
Chet.
All I need to know.
Okay. So how many of you in the audience are either professional artists or aspiring artists? How many of you have tried your hand at comic book inking? Okay,
wow,
number, you're
that's
good.
Nice.
I'm surprised to see so many people here for this. I would have been a lot more nervous about this if I now it's too late.
Are the people who put up their hands, I'm curious how many of you are inking with traditional tools, with a pen or a brush? Okay, cool.
Yeah, great. That's good. I don't think we have a digital inker on the panel, do we?
There's a digital inker.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, we may have you up here before the panel's over.
Okay, so, I'll make sure, especially since I'm sure you'll have a lot of great technical questions, we'll leave some time for Q&A at the end of this. But just to get started, how about telling us how you got into the comic book business?
Well, I grew up as a fan of comics. By the time, though, that I got to college, I kind of had morphed into someone who was interested more in illustration and painting. So I graduated with a degree in painting from university. I had kind of moved away from the notion of story. And it took me a few years after I graduated to figure out that what I was really interested in was narrative and storytelling. And the comics are an excellent medium for that, if you work visually to tell stories. So, it took me time, but by the time I was 30 years old, I figured out that I wanted to control stories myself in a comic format. And part of that was sitting down and training myself to ink. And I just found that I tried a variety of medium, and I just kind of naturally gravitated to the brush. It just seemed to be the instrument that worked best for me.
Okay. So Rudy, how did you get started?
I really love comics. At the age of 7 years old, when this started way back in the Philippines, that I love comics. Though the comics in the Philippines is a major business, though the comics is only circulated around the country. And I went to school in one of the oldest universities in the Philippines, taking up fine arts. But it doesn't say that or leading you to comics, because you have a certain area that you have to develop yourself. Comics. I love comics. So what I did, I did a lot of research and things to get comics. Somebody told me that to get into comics, you have to get with people who knows about comics. So there are five top artists in the Philippines, which is in the comics, which is Nestor Redondo, if you're familiar with this guy, Alfredo Alcala. They are the five pioneer artists in the Philippines. The problem is this: to enter publication there, you have to be, you have to follow their style, which is, you know, it's hard for every artist who wants to enter the, you know, to enter this publication to get a job. Now, what I did, for the meantime, you have to follow just to get in the publication. Because what I would like is to establish my own style. For the meantime, like I said, I you know, I follow them until such time they break this regulation that I had free of thinking of, you know, which style that I have to go to. Now I follow, I get the style of Kuching and Mr. Redondo. Kuching for, you know, he's very dynamic, and, you know, I took that from him, and Mr. Redondo because of the fine line and, you know, detailed drawing. That's when I got in the publication. So, you know, I got busy doing this in one of the biggest publications in the Philippines, which is the Ace publication. And I got lucky that, you know, I got busy, and they gave me a lot of job there. In 1972, when Tony DeSinga, you know the guy, who came first in America to work for DC, that he said that in 1972, I think there was a crisis in artists and comics here in the state. And Tony DeSinga suggested that why not recruit artists from other countries. They went to Japan. Armand Infantino went with him with Joe Landau. Yeah, I don't remember that. Okay, they went first to Japan, China. They were able to recruit artists from this country. And then the last time, they went to the Philippines because of Tony DeSinga brought them there. And Carmen Infantino Joe Orlando was amazed that there are lots of good, you know, good artists there, talent. Where about, they were able to recruit 128 artists in the Philippines. First of all, of course, we were given a trial, who's going to be there, you know, who could be capable of doing this job. And I am one of the lucky that was included at that time, lucky artist at the time. And out of the 10 that they choose first, they did another selection, which is they selected 5 first that will do the job first. And I'm still, you know, lucky that I was included there. I did, what I remember, I did my first script in DC publication. What I remember, I did 8 short stories for this publication. Inspected, Hunted, I don't remember the rest of it. And then they moved me to Marvel. That's when I started doing the Kung Fu, Xiangxi, Iron Fist, and the Black and White magazine. And then I got busy doing another title of comics like John Carter, of Doctor Strange. There are lots of titles named that I did to Marvel that time. And then I moved to Marvel to Warren. You know, they opened me a little bit higher, and I moved to Marvel to Warren. And then after that, I worked in animation here in Los Angeles, doing a story presentation art as a presentation artist for Marvel Entertainment. What can I say? Now I'm I freelance. Oh yeah, I work for Continuity as an advertising agent. It is an advertising agent as an advertising artist. And then after that, I went back to my freelance job, which is, I'm doing a lot of commissions for friends, fans, and people that, wants my toy. Not yet, I think.
I like to draw, and I imagine everybody here, I don't think anybody would be here if they're not drawing. This seems like the sort of panel that might be a little difficult if you were just somebody who weren't involved in the arts already. And I don't think you can separate this subject of inking from drawing. I mean, I don't see the difference between the two. And I think to talk about inking, you're going to get, even if there were 10 artists up here, you'll get 10 different approaches, and you might leave here not knowing anything more about inking than you did when you came in. And I'm hoping that, perhaps with a little bit of audience back and forth, we might be able to talk about some of the things that might be automatic for us, if you know what I mean, that might even be difficult to describe, that you may think, well, how do I do this? But it might not cross our minds because we've been doing it for so long, it almost becomes by rote. So it's a little difficult to talk about the dynamics of it. I don't know if that answers your question at all, but...
It's a start.
Yeah.
So Rudy touched upon this a bit in his answer, but for Mark and Gary, who are some of the artists that really energized you when you were growing up or getting started? Who do you think guided you down this path of becoming an artist?
Specific to inking?
Specific to inking, or if there's a comic that you... admired in a certain way.
Well, I just asked to narrow it because it's such a broad answer. I could go on for hours of all the influences. I'm sure we all could, but
we'll steer toward inking in that
case.
Yeah.
Okay. The one single person that really made me want to be a comic book storyteller to draw and ink in comics was Wally Wood. And he had just this wonderful lush brush technique. He combined pen and brush together very well. And if you're going to go to one person that really was the catalyst that made me say, I want to do this, it would be Wally Wood. But, I became friends, when I started in the business, I became friends with Al Williamson, great artist who became recognized for DC first and went on to do work in comic strips, including Star Wars, Flash Gordon, of course. But he was a wonderful artist who had a very graceful flow to his pen and brush technique, and that became very influential. And he guided me back. He said, well, if you like guys like me and Wally Wood, who came up in the 40s and 50s, look at the guys who influenced us. Go back to the great strip adventure artists like Hal Foster, Alex Raymond, and study those guys, because those are the guys we study. And then, once you've looked at those, go back further and look at the great American illustrators that influenced them. J.C. Cole, Franklin Booth, Herbert Morton Stoops, great people who use pen and brush to wonderful effect. And that's kind of been my journey through my career, is starting with the stuff I loved as a kid and slowly going back further and further. And then from the American illustrators, you go back to great pen and brush men like Goya and Rembrandt, and the Japanese and Chinese masters. And it's all as many different influences you can find, they all go into making it your own thing. You pick a little bit of that, a little bit of that. You can never have enough knowledge and enough different inspiration and influences.
Just to add to that a little bit, there are so many different ways of inking that we can name all of our influences, but I'm sure you have, each one of you has some illustrator or a artist that you love, and that will eventually lead you down a path toward all the other artists that influenced him, as Mark pointed out. And now there you are, you're taking it back to Rembrandt, and that's 1600s. And I was sitting here thinking, yeah, I remember seeing a cave painting that I thought the line work was really great. So now we're going back about another 10, 20,000 years. Where do you start with this, you know? I mean, this is really, yeah. We're talking about the whole history of art here. And that's a subject that, you know, maybe we should just... do we have about another 4 hours in here or so? No, we don't. So it goes all the way back to the beginning of time.
And Gary, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think those cave paintings of animals, the artists who had to very carefully observe animals to stay alive, it was their livelihood. Man, those are the best animal drawings, paintings ever done.
Did you see that 3D thing? That,
yeah, Cave of Forgotten Dreams?
Yeah.
That, yeah, fantastic.
What's his name?
Werner Herzog.
Did anybody see that? It was tremendous. The line work to those...
I don't know these people you're mentioning.
I'm sorry?
I don't know these people you're
mentioning. It's called Cave of Forgotten Dreams, and it was a film by Werner Herzog, the German director, Herzog. And it's filmed in 3D, but it's a look at a cave that they discovered in France.
Right. Yeah.
That hadn't been accessed by other people. It was something new, and all the drawings were fresh. There was no destruction from too many people being in.
Yeah.
And they're just gorgeous.
The animation to the horses and the...
They were using techniques that we use today to imply motion. It was true cartooning and film technique to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think, if you're going to talk just about inking, and I think Rudy and Mark and I strive for this too, to keep that rough pencil you've done, to keep some of the energy in that, to keep the animation, to keep some of the life in it,
yeah,
is probably one of the single most important aspects of trying to arrive at a good drawing, in an inkline drawing, that you could ask for. That's, I think, for the three of us, movement and some spontaneity in the inkline drawing is really important.
Well, when I teach a course on occasion on techniques and materials for use in comics, the first lesson I give is I show a slide presentation of those cave paintings.
Oh, do you?
And then I bring in, I've collected a huge big bag of sticks just off the ground, just fallen from trees. I pour them out on the table and I say, everyone choose a couple of these. Your first assignment is to do a drawing of an animal and do a self-portrait just using that stick, those sticks you've chosen, dipping it into an inkwell. And some of the work is fantastic because this is what those cave people were using, and you can get wonderfully expressive stuff. You don't have to have a fancy brush or a fancy pen. Get wonderfully expressive things, and you learn something. You explore it and find out all sorts of interesting things about your material and yourself when you're working with something that isn't refined, that isn't... There's a lot more energy, as you say, in a drawing like that. So it's a good experiment if you're an inker. I say just grab yourself a stick or a reed, stick it in ink, and have fun with that. See what you get.
Look at the different, Mark, you use different sorts of brushes, and I use different pen points. I don't know what Rudy uses, but sometimes we'll all find those tools that actually with the brushes that are going off in different, they're old brushes, but you use it for a certain technique or a certain
right.
effect. Do you,
Absolutely.
You find that true, Rudy?
Well, in the Philippines, what we are using is the Chinese grass, if you're familiar with this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the tip is big and, you know, it needs a lot of control when you were using this. And we are heavily trained with that kind of material for inking jar. But the Filipino artists are trained very hard to do from pencil to ink, color and wash. And sometimes we letter our own drawing, you know, the dialogues we're trying to do. That when I came over here, 1975, late November, I was surprised that I pencil it, somebody will ink it over my pencil. And I told Marvel, Archie Goodwin, the late Archie Goodwin, that, oh, you have a system here. I'm not familiar with that system. Of course, I have to tell the truth that I could ink my own pencil, if you could, you know, not to, you know, to get the job of the penciler. But I stayed a long time from inking somebody's pencil. It's okay. That's when I got busy with inking Jill Kane and John Carter. And then after a while, probably they said, well, try to give Rudy, you know, try him to work on pencil and inking himself. And that is when Mark Wolfman gave me a chance to do, you know, Doctor Strange in three mini issues of, you know. And from that day on, you know, they trust me to do from ink, from pencil to ink and my stuff.
And do any of you work with pencilers? Or I mostly know you from your own.
I can't imagine working on anybody else's artwork. I find myself redrawing everything, just because it's not the way I work. I think Rudy's probably the only guy here who works on other people's, because you were working at Marvel. And they, that was the system. But I don't think Mark's ever really inked too many other guys.
Except for just a couple of spots. Actually, I inked you.
Yeah, you did. But that was just a... That was a little bit of an experiment.
Right.
Did you redraw it? Yeah, I did redraw it somewhat.
Well, there was a specific...
And I need to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I'm a control freak. What can I say? I don't think there's any of us that prefer to work with another, you know, pencil or inker. Except on the odd occasion when there's a reason to do it, we all enjoy... Because as Gary said earlier, inking is part of the drawing process. It's not something, it's a very artificial to divide the two.
I don't know how you can divide. It's very organic.
Yeah.
And I do know some artists who their pencils look just like their inks. As a matter of fact, one of them was going to be here today. That was Jeff Darrow. He was originally scheduled to be on this panel. And he said, yeah, but I do these very detailed contour line drawings, and then all I need to do is trace them. And he said, I don't consider that. I said, why would I be on an ink panel? Nobody would be interested in that. But to me, I find that really interesting, because that's just another way to work. You know, that is a legitimate way to work, and he's successful, and the stuff looks great. So...
Well, that's it. I got a question then, and for both of you, because I...
And you're not the moderator.
Well, he's distracted. When I pencil, I try to get all my drawing problems out of the way, so when I ink, it's just technique, just putting like a polish on it. I'm curious how much actual drawing you do in the inking stage, both of you do in the inking stage, as opposed to having it all the drawing problems done in the penciling stage.
Okay, I'll tell you one incident about the inking. When I'm inking over John Buscema's and Conan, He said that one time, he said, which one do you prefer to ink over my pencil? The loose pencil or the tight pencil? Because he mentioned about, you know, he wants my inking job rather than, you know, I'm not going to tell him the name. I said, if you don't mind, John, I prefer the loose one. Mm-hmm. Why did you say that? I said, he wants to, you know, my personal reason. I said, because, number one, I am challenged if I could make better the drawing that is loose pencil. I said, but you know, it reduces your speed. I don't mind that. What I mind is, I'm learning a lot from a professional like you, because he's one of my favorite artists. I like his. The guy is so phenomenal that you know, the pencil actually has no problem when even it's loose or tight. If it's we're talking about food, all the ingredients are there. You will never miss the line. I like his loose pencil better than the tight pencil. Number one, like I said, I'm being challenged to make it better, and he likes it a lot when I, you know, when I do that.
If we can pause for just a moment, we have a special guest from Comic Con who has an announcement for Rudy. So let's introduce Gary Sassman.
I'm Gary Sassman, Director of Print Publications, and this panel was actually one of my ideas this year, and all the artists that are on this panel are great artists in their own right. I'm not just restricted to inking. I think all of them, though, have incredible inking styles that bring so much more to the page and all the illustrations that they do. I'm here today to honor one person in particular, and that is Rudy Nevers. National to present to Rudy our Inkpot Award for Excellence in Comic Art.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. On behalf of my thanks a lot. I'm being a big honor for me.
Don't stick with something you don't like. There's.
You think it might be actually a brand then?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know. Do you? Yeah.
Rudy, you probably use a lot. Which gives you the best flat quality to you, so the piece is flat without any wash or.
Water.
You know the ink. What ink is the best for?
Well, I usually use the Pelican ink.
The Pelican.
Yeah, the Pelican. Yeah.
When you're using brush?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Now, in regards to what you're asking, what kind of pencil do you use? Some special pencil?
Just Staedtler pencils or soft?
Because
2B or something?
There is a pencil that you cannot ink over it. It is kind of an oily when you ink it.
Right.
So the pencil is affecting the ink maker?
Probably, if I don't know what kind of pencil you are using. Plus, sometimes your hands, this part here, usually, when you are, doing it, it produces oil here, and you are always leaning on the drawing. When you ink that part, the ink will, retract that glaze here. All you have to do is this. Are you a heavy penciler?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Yeah. To avoid your problem, you have to get a kneaded eraser.
Okay.
And then go over it light. Not to erase the thing, though. Just to, save a little that you could ink it, erase it, so that the part of the oil or whatever that went there will be reduced, and you will have no problem of inking it. Yeah, I experienced that for a long time. Yeah, it happens to me.
Yeah.
And the paper you use too makes a difference.
Yeah,
get yourself a good Bristol board.
Don't use a glossy paper.
Strathmore 500 is going to give you the most consistent results.
Okay. Thank you to the organizers for having a panel on inking. Very pleased to see that. I'm a new artist. I'm getting into comic for the first time. Me and my brother have come out with a book. I'm finally happy with how far I've reached with my pencil and the quality of drawings that I do with my pencil, but I'm really struggling with inking. I'm experimenting with the digital, with a pen brush, not with a drill brush as of now. So any drills you can suggest for beginning inkers, or books that they can refer to, or anything, to where you can get practice and get that hang in line in?
Well, what I would say about that is, try to find somebody's work that you think you're naturally drawn toward, and just maybe copy some of the technique that they're using in their work. Just literally, just copy it, and that may help you apply that technique to your own work. And there are a million styles out there, right? And so it's very difficult to say, well, look at this book or look at that book. I think what we're talking about is something that's very personal. And because there are so many different ways of working, I think for you, walk up and down those aisles or flip through collections of work and stop on something that you think fits you, and then try to apply that. Because, I think any of us could suggest artists, but I don't know if that's going to really help you, because it is so personal. It's finding that what turns you on. We might get 100 different answers in this room when it comes to what you're basically saying is, how should I do this? And my answer is, I don't know. That's really, it's too personal. So it's just a matter of looking at what you like. I like 100 different artists, but if an angel came down and said, who would you like to draw, paint like, there would be one or two. So, it's the same for all of us.
Yeah, I just to second what Gary said, right, find, this is one case where it's okay to copy, to learn. You're not copy to stick with that style. But your own style, your own skill will evolve out of studying other people's art. Like I said earlier, it was Wally Wood for me. I think for Rudy, it was Cochin and Nestor Redondo. And for Gary, it's Ernie Bushmiller, I guess. And you just internalize that. You learn from what they do, and then it'll evolve into your own thing.
Well, in the case of what I would say, in the case of copying others' work, there's nothing wrong with that. Going back to the Philippines, many artists are following the Big Five, like I mentioned, Nestor Redondo, because of the publication tolerance. You cannot get in and get a work in a publication if your drawing is far from this big five, they said. You have to follow this Big Five, otherwise, no job. Because these Big Five are the only trusted that at the time to produce the typical Filipino feature. If you are a good artist and your character will like a Caucasian or other, you're not gonna be in the business. Until such time that, like I said, they broke that policy. Because me myself, I like to establish my own style. I have to create something that it's a little different from this Big Five. But you cannot do that. You have to follow that until such time, like I said, they break the style. That's when I have my freedom.
That was in the 70s, right?
Oh, not even.
Maybe the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I was in high school, 1955.
Oh, okay. Well, what I wanted to add to that was nowadays, especially with online comics and digital inking, it's blown the roof off any kind of severe limitations to what your work should look like. It can run from, Ernie Bushmiller to... Doré, so it's more a matter of sticking to it and making sure people see your stuff and good storytelling, So I've seen some pretty crude stuff that actually works very well for the story it's trying to convey. So I don't know if that helps either, but there was somebody over. You don't like the mess?
I just don't. That's why I'm a digital artist. What's like a good brush alternative that's not where you're actually giving a brush in brush?
At least that's how I like it. So can you recommend any alternatives to the... Are there any brush pens?
They're essentially magic markers there, but they have they simulate a brush point in foam or some sort of fiber. Oh yeah, and get over the mess thing. I mean, it's not that messy. We're not talking oil paints or which, not that they're really messy either, but yeah, I mean, it's so much more expressive. Just experiment with it. You may want to go to something else, magic markers, but don't limit yourself without giving yourself a chance to try these things. They can be very expressive, you know.
Talking about mess and inking, I was going to ask you, do you ink directly on your pencils, and have you ever messed up a piece so badly that you couldn't correct it, and you have to restart with magic pencils?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's one of the high pressure moments of the job is when you're approaching a page and there's no undo button if you're inking
Yes, there is. It's called an electric eraser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there
you know, if I could say something about that, I know this young lady said she's a visual artist, and one time I was looking at some person's work, and it was very nice, and they told me it was digital, and I was amazed that it was digital. And I said, well, why do you like to work digitally? And this artist said, well, because when I make a mistake, I can just delete it. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, that would be the difference between doing something traditionally and digitally. Traditionally, you can't delete things. And oftentimes, when I make a mistake, and maybe you guys do this too, you work with that mistake, mm-hmm. you begin to turn it into something else, and quite often, I end up with something that is far removed from what I initially thought it was going to come out like. And actually, I like it more.
Right.
Because of the mistakes. Yeah. And
happy accidents are good.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not always the case. I mean, right. I've had to patch things and use erasers and everything. But so, you know, it's kind of an unforgiving medium, and you do make mistakes. And,
yeah. It is but natural, you know, to make mistakes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be too worried about it, though.
Now, the lady who has a problem with inking job. If you have a chance, stop by my table. I'm going to explain the problem to you. Yeah. Showing my work. Not offending or what. Yeah, my table is in WH14.
Okay.
Yeah, I got my stuff there. I should have brought something to show you.
Yeah, we all should have brought some visuals.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
But I didn't want to just bring visuals in, and if you guys would have not had any, I would have felt fine. I'm sure it was the
same. Yeah, I just want to solve your problem.
Stop by all of our tables, and we'll be happy.
It is better for you to see something.
Yeah.
Plus the explanation, you know. Don't fear, you know.
As for me, yes. I have the opposite problem she does. When I basically do a basic sketch, I see a lot of emotion, I see a lot of different things. And when I ink it, sure, it's messy. I get all over my face and everywhere, but it shows such great emotion. But then I transfer over that digitally, but I'm so crazy with trying to get everything so perfect that it kind of loses.
Yeah, that's a big problem. Losing the spontaneity, losing the something, the meat in that initial drawing, and that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
We all wrestle with that problem, and it's merely a lot of stick to it and brushwork, a lot of mileage, and you'll finally overcome that problem. I don't know if that's the answer you want to hear.
I also have one more question. I want to know. What's your guys' basic ideas of traditional and digital, and then a combination of both? There's inking and penmanship, and then they combine that with a digital aspect that still looks like it's traditional. There's a lot of artists that have done that. What's your basic ideas?
I think whatever you can do is legitimate, and as long as it looks good, any kind of combined digital or traditional approach, it's all going to be printed anyway, so it doesn't really matter. As long as you're getting across the point you're trying to make, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, I'm open-minded about all kinds of digital media, so any way it's going to work, as long as it tells a good story.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys ever ink over blue line copies of pencils? Like, be so much, you know,
So he wants to know if you ever ink over copies of pencils because you want to preserve the pencils.
The blue line copies instead of the pencils.
Did you always go right at the...
I always go on to the pencils, but I mean, that certainly would be an alternative.
Basic definition of line work.
Well, line work.
That's a good question.
You in fundamentals, what do they make you do right off the bat? For months and months, they'll make you work with charcoal and value,
right? You're not even using line, because that's a little closer to reality. There's no lines in reality. Sooner or later, when we start getting into this thing that you're wondering about, you have to translate those values from grays to solid black into a series of lines. So this is how you do that. That's basically what you're asking, and that's the definition. It's rendering three-dimensional objects that in reality are all in value into something that's linear.
The tools of inking, the pen and the brush, tend to be linear, and you use all those lines that come out of those to build up an illusion of value. Like cross-hatching,
and or form.
So
your directions and lines.
Line work just refers to the quality of pen and brush to do lines to, as Gary said, to imply reality. You know, I hope my arm does not have black lines on either side of it to define it. But when we work with a pen or a brush, that's what we do. The lines define the arm. And the quality of lines can be used to indicate volume or roundness or angularity.
And that's why I started by saying it's all about line drawing and any of the stuff we're talking about today is just a step from drawing. It's all based in drawing. So it's hard to separate the two.
And good line work is simply line work that does its job, that defines things as it should and gives the information necessary to the viewer. Bad line work is line work that fails to do that.
Yeah, and we all know bad line work when we see it. You said, what's good line work? Well, anything that isn't bad, I guess. Yeah.
So we might have time for one more really quick question.
I'm relatively new to inking. I've been doing pencil work for forever. And I was wondering, personally, what's the percentage normally of pencil work to ink work as far as rendering and stylizing and creating values? Are you more abstract with your pencils and then put more detail in your inking? Or is it equal, or is there a relation to the two?
So yeah, how tight do you gentlemen pencil?
I tend to pencil very tightly. I try to work out all the details in the pencil, so the inking process is just a stylistic process.
Are your pencils tight?
Well, in my case, if I'm going to ink my own pencil, I pencil not tight, it's loose. It is only when I'm inking, in the process of inking, that's when I make it tight. Because I understand the finished product is the inking job. I don't pencil so tight. Now, another incident I'm going to tell you the story. I was assigned to do a doctor's training. A doctor's training I mentioned you by Mark Woolman. I penciled that so tight that I assume that it's gonna be assigned to another artist to ink. Okay, to cut the story short, my pencil came back to me and wind up. I'm going to ink it. Mm-hmm. The reason is this: I'm not offend any artist. The reason was this: if it's true, that the inker was afraid to ink over my pencil. It was so tight that he might ruin the pencil. That's the thing. But I repeat, I prefer to ink a loose pencil. A loose pencil. It challenged me a lot. I'm learning.
So, yeah, do you pencil tightly, loosely?
Excuse me?
For Gary.
I used to tie a lot I used to pencil a lot tighter, but nowadays, well, especially when I was doing Prince Valiant, the deadlines forced me to work looser. And just as you mature, you learn what to do, and you learn what works and what doesn't, and at times it's easier to do it. But I'll just say that if you look around at some of the Golden Age illustration booths that are here at the con, and you see somebody like Charles Gibson, who's one of the great inkers, he did all the Gibson Girl stuff. My brother bought a pencil, and it's really loose. Some of it, it's an unfinished Gibson, and it's really loose. And then part of it is inked, and it's very, very tight. And that's just another way to learn, again, is by looking at all this stuff that's been done before. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, so unfortunately that's all the time we have, but these guys are all going to be in Artist Alley, so make your way over there and hit them with any follow-up questions, but let's give them a very nice